Brethren, would you please turn to Luke, Gospel of Luke, chapter 22. We were here last week in this same gospel, in this same chapter. You may recall that the message last week were those based on those words to Simon. Jesus spoke, "Simon, Simon, Satan would have you that he might sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, and when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren." Those verses are chapter 22, verses 31 and 32. "I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not." I was quoting them, not reading and trying to quote them, and I didn't get it right, but that's close. That's where we were last week. And today I want us to stay in revisit that chapter, not those verses, some other verses in the chapter, up the column in my Bible to verses 24, 25, 26, and 27. Luke 22, beginning with verse 24, I read, "And there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. And he said unto them, The kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief, as he that doth serve. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat, or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat? But I am among you as he that serveth." If I read that correctly, brethren, that's the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22, verses 24 through 27. Let's pray again that God would bless us. Now we need him. We just prayed in a hymn the Holy Spirit would come. Let's continue in that prayer. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that we have it. We can read it. We can hold it in our hands. The printed word of God. Thank you that you kept it safe to us and we have it here. We can read it. Oh, now God, now that we have read it, make it come alive, please, to us. You've made our spirits alive, oh God. And Jesus has told us that you are spirit, and if we're going to worship you, we must worship. It must be in spirit and in truth. Oh Lord God, if we know our hearts today, that's what we want. We want to worship you. We want to honor you, God, and glorify you. And we want to learn. We want to do better. We want to avoid mistakes and pitfalls. And we want to walk in the right way, straight and narrow way that leads to life, abundant life here on this earth while we live. Oh Lord, grant that, please, in this hour. Get all honor and glory, oh God, please. Direct us. We ask it in the name of Jesus, the name above every name, the one who gave this lesson. Let him be our teacher, as he was the teacher of the disciples on this occasion. Lord, let him come now and teach us by the Spirit of God. We pray. Amen.
I'd like to just give you some background for just a few moments. Last week, as I said, we were at verse 31 and 32. Well, the title of this lesson is taken from the scripture we read, "I am among you as he that serveth." What a thing for God to say to men who are bickering and arguing about who's the greatest. What a thing for God to say, "I am among you as he that serveth." Last week we were down the page in my Bible, and the setting was the upper room. It's Passover time. Jesus, our Passover, was crucified for us at Passover time. And he is giving lessons, among other things. He's giving lessons, and he warned Simon Peter last week. He called him Simon. Remember that? Peter means rock. And Jesus had given him that name early on when he called him into service. But he called him Simon on this occasion we studied last week, because he was Simon. He wasn't a rock. He was weak. Although he said, "I'm strong and I'll never do what you say, Lord. I'll never do that. But he did shortly, very shortly thereafter. Somebody in my family, I don't know who it was, would often give advice, don't ever say what you're not going to do. Pretty good advice. I guess you could say what you're not going to do, I do that sometimes, but I add to it, the Lord willing, I'll not do that. That lets two messages. One is, I don't want to do that. And the other is, I won't if God will help me. Simon acted like Simon, but then he was converted, brethren, as we studied last week. And Jesus said, when that happens, strengthen the brethren. And oh, did he strengthen the brethren? And oh, does he strengthen the brethren? On the day of Pentecost, and I gave you two or three examples of his boldness, filled with the Spirit of God, converted man. And God blessed him to strengthen many, many brethren. And on Sunday nights, we started last Sunday now, we're getting strength from Peter. We're studying the first general epistle of Peter. And I've gotten strength from it already, and I hope you have. Hope we all will. So, but moving on, to remind you that the setting here is probably the upper room. Some say that Luke added this in. Luke didn't witness it. He was not an eyewitness, but he interviewed many people in gathering information for his gospel. Luke was not there. But all Scripture is by inspiration of God, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. God inspired Luke to interview those who were there, some of them probably, and get the story, get it down. And he put pen to paper, recording it. My understanding is, and he wrote the book of Acts, and much of that he witnessed, eyewitnessed. This event, he probably didn't, but Matthew records it too, very, very similarly. So don't doubt that it happened. So this probably happened, it is said, at the upper room. Luke might have inserted it. He says there was also a strife among them. It might have been something that he knew about, that he just wrote at this particular point in the Scriptures, but it might have been a chronological event. If it was, then it means that it happened just hours before Jesus was arrested. And if that's the case, brethren, it makes it doubly sad to me that as Jesus has instituted the Lord's Supper, and he has said to these men, this bread represents my body that's going to be broken for you. This wine represents my blood in the New Testament. It's about to be shed for you. On the heels of that, if it did happen like this chronologically, they're fussing about who's the greatest. Think about that. Think about that. Brethren, I was thinking about it as I was thinking about these verses and what I might say to you. And the thought occurred to me, you know, Jesus is about to go to the cross. He's about to die for sins he didn't commit. He's about to save these men from themselves, from their sins. And they're fussing about who's the greatest. Oh, wonder how Jesus felt about that. He was God-man. Here he's about to face these things, and they're all they're concerned with at that moment is who's the greatest. And I can't help but just be convicted in my own mind, because I like to be great too. I like attention. I like to be the head of the pack. It's just human nature, you know. We want recognition. We want that. We want that. And these men were men. They were men, chosen of God, called out by Christ to follow Him. So there's the setting right there. That's where what's going on, apparently. There was also a strife among them. Which of them should be accounted the greatest? One commentator said that Jesus had said, you know, one of you is about to betray me. And maybe they got into it about that. You know, they were looking around, and I think it was Peter that said to John, ask him who it is. And they were wondering. I guess Judas was not wondering. He had already made a deal with the authorities to betray him for turn him over for 30 pieces of silver. But the others were asking, looking at one another, and maybe they got in, maybe that kind of precipitated this. Another thing that is said that might have precipitated this was, wasn't it James and John's mother that came to Jesus and said, I want to ask you something? He said, what's that? She said, when you come into your kingdom, let my boys sit on either side of you. There's another example of wanting to be the greatest, wanting to be looked up to, wanting to be envied. Anyway, there was a strife among them. Which of them should be accounted the greatest? And he said unto them, well, Luke doesn't tell us that Jesus overheard what their strife and their words. He could have. I think it's in Matthew. I didn't read this. I should have. But on maybe it's that occasion where he said to them, what was that y'all were arguing about? I'm putting it in my words. Maybe he heard it. And this may be the same incident. I don't know. But anyway, he knew it because he begins to teach them. He says unto them, he either heard it or observed it, or as Jesus is God, he knew what had happened. He knew it. He didn't have to hear it with the natural ear. He knew it. So he starts teaching them, brethren. Verse 25, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them. The Gentile world, the world out there. The Gentiles, the unbelievers, generally, I think he's speaking about the non-Jews. Their governments are set up that they exercise lordship over them. And they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. He may mean by that the one ruling, the king or the governor, sees himself as a benefactor, as doing good for the people. Some did some good, some did a lot of bad for the people. But they call themselves benefactors. That's the way the worldly government is set up. Look at verse 26, first phrase, but ye shall not be so. It's not going to be like that with you. Why is that? Because my kingdom, Jesus' kingdom, Jesus said, my kingdom doesn't operate on worldly principles. He said to Pilate, just hours later, I believe, my kingdom is not of this world. Pilate says, are you a king? You're a king. You're a king then. They brought you in here saying that you want to be a king. Jesus says, my kingdom. Two words, my kingdom. That means yes, I am a king. Yes, I am. But my kingdom is not of this world. Pilate, your king, my kingdom is not a threat to yours. Why do unbelievers feel like the kingdom of God is a threat to them? Why is that? I think Jan and I were talking about that not long ago. I was saying, you know, the world hates Christians. Why is that? They resent the kingdom of God and believers. If they only knew how little the things of God threaten them. They threaten the evil. It threatens evil. But if you're trying to do right, Christians are not a threat. They're a great ally. They're a great blessing to the governments of the world when they're doing right. But ye shall not be so. But he... Oh, listen to this now. In the book of Acts, there's one place... I think it's Acts, isn't it? Where they said... The apostles, I don't know if it's Peter or Paul, I think it was Paul, was there, it was in a place in Asia, I think, and they ran in and said to the authorities, these men that have turned the world upside down, they're now here they are, coming to cause us trouble. That's because, brethren, the principles of God are diametrically different than the principles of man and mankind. Jesus says, it's not so. It won't be so with you. Because he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger. What does that mean? Well, one thing to me it means is those who are greatest, those who are maybe older, those who maybe are wiser, those who are maybe more experienced, those who really we all listen to, they need to not say as much. They need to take a, not take a back seat, but they need to just take it easy. And when their advice is sought or needed, they need to give it. They don't need to insist on their way over somebody else's necessarily. He that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief as he that doth serve. Who's the chief of the apostles? Who was the greatest among them? Christ Jesus, our Lord. And his last statement to them, or where we stop, I am among you as one that serveth. He that is chief, as he that doth serve. Luke doesn't include this. If he's giving a chronology of those events in the upper room at the Lord's Supper, John tells us about it, because John witnessed this. He was there. After supper was ended, John chapter 13 tells us, I'm going to paraphrase, I'm going to try to just tell you about it rather than turning there. John says, when supper was over, Jesus got up from the table and he took a towel and girded himself with it, right? And he took a basin of water, basin, poured water in it, I think, and went around to all the apostles and began to wash their feet. And after he had done that, he sat down. And he said, you know what I've done? He said, you call me Master and Lord, and you're right to do that. I am your Lord. I am your Master. But I am here to serve you. And I'm here to give you an example of how you're to act. Some people, Jesus said, do what I've done unto you. I've washed your feet. You're to wash one another's feet. Some people say Jesus didn't mean that literally. I think he did. I think he meant it literally, and he also meant it also figuratively. That is, I'm to serve you. I'm to serve you. I am to serve you. I'm also to literally wash your feet, because that is a great reminder of what I'm supposed to do. It's a great way to show my love and that I want to serve you. Can't think of a better. I can say it in words, but till I kneel down before you and wash your feet, demonstrate it. That's a good way. Now Jesus illustrates the point he's trying to get across. He says in verse 27, for whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth? We call people the wait staff, don't we, when we go to a restaurant? The waiters or the wait staff or the server, when we go sit down. We sit down, don't we? And then they come to us. They take our order. They take an order from us. That's the servant, isn't it? Who's greater, Jesus says? The one that sits at the meal or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat? Well, sure. Sure. There is a greater and there's a lesser. There's a master and there's a server. Jesus says, I'm among you as he that serveth. He said in that upper room, and as John records, yes, I'm your master. Yes, I am. You're right. You're exactly right. I am the master. But I'm here to serve you. I came to serve. I'm among you as one that serveth. That's the title of this lesson. Right there from Jesus' words. But, yes, there's a master and there's a server. And I am the master. But I am among you as he that serveth. Would you go to Philippians, please? This is the only other scripture we'll go to today, as far as I plan. Philippians chapter 2. Paul knew about this, and he writes to the church about it, the church of Philippi. Philippians 2, verse 4. He gives an admonition of the servant heart, how we're to act in relation to one another. Chapter 2, verse 3. Philippians 2, verse 3. Let nothing be done through, there's that word, there was a strife among them. Didn't we read that earlier? Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Each. What's that expression? Each and every one of you? That's kind of redundant, isn't it? Each means every one of you. I used to have a friend. He did a redundancy. I'd hear him say it, and I'd just smile to myself. He said, he would say, something is totally and completely so-and-so. That was his an expression he used a lot, totally and completely. And I'd say sometimes to myself, totally as opposed to uncompletely. It's just a redundancy. And so I don't need to say, Paul didn't need to say, each and every one of you, although we say that a lot, don't we? Each means every one of us. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Well, that simply means yield to their desires, as long as it's a godly desire. Don't yield to ungodliness. Yield. When you get on the interstate, there's that triangular sign, isn't it? Yield. You better yield too. The other guy's not getting over. You got to yield. They often will get over if they can. There might be somebody to their left and they can't. So you yield. That's the safe way, the best way. Avoids problems. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Now that doesn't mean don't care about your own stuff or be a good steward or take care of your stuff. It means above what your own things, see about the things of others. Put them first. Now here's, look at verse 5. Because Paul says that's the way Jesus did it. And that's the way Jesus would have us do. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. This mind of Christ when he bowed before the disciples and washed their feet. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, he was God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He was equal with God, brethren. He's God. There's God the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the triune God, the three in one God. He's God. But what did this part of the Godhead do? Verse 7, he made himself of no reputation. He made himself. Oh, we're all about making a reputation for ourselves, aren't we? Jesus made himself of no reputation. A good name is good. There's nothing wrong with having, in fact, we should have a good report, a good reputation. But Jesus condescended to us. He made himself of no reputation. And he took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. He came, he took on the seed of Abraham, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. Oh, what words inspired by the Holy Spirit inspired Paul to write these to us. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Oh, that's humble, isn't it? Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him. God raised him up the third day after he was buried and given him a name which is above every name. You hear me say that a lot, don't you? Because I want to acknowledge, brethren, that the name Jesus is above every name. And I don't need to be concerned about advancing my name out there. I need to be advanced in the name of Jesus. I am among you as he that serveth. Jesus in John 36:38 said, I came down from heaven, what? To do my will? Show you how great I am? I came down from heaven not to do my will, but what? The will of him that sent me. The will of the Father. It shall not be so among you. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger. And he that is chief, as he that doth serve. I am among you as he that serveth. Brethren, you want to serve God today, then serve your brother and sister in Christ. You want to do the work of the man or woman of God, then serve your brother and sister in Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Have the mind of Christ. And whatever our mind leads us, that's what we'll do. Serve Him, one another. Pray that we'll think on the things of others above our own. I pray that the mind of Christ will be in us. I pray that we'll humble ourselves. I pray that we'll serve one another. I can't think of all the words of this hymn, but brother, let me be your servant. You know that? That's a good one. We are travelers on a journey. I can't think of any more of the words than that, but it's let me be your servant. Let me be your servant. Let me serve you. Let that mind of Christ be in you and in me. Our Father in heaven, thank you for these words of Jesus. Thank you that you point out to us the weakness of ourselves as men and women. Thank you for this example. Thank you for the fact that Jesus taught them better. May He teach us better by the Spirit of God. May we adopt this teaching and receive it. And may we, as Brother Kevin prayed earlier, put it into practice in our daily lives that you give us. Let us do that, O God. Let us serve one another and thereby serve you. In the name of Jesus we pray, for His sake. You've given Him that name above every other name. We thank you for it. In His name we pray. Amen. We're going to stand and sing a hymn, brethren. If you love God, it's because He first loved you. If you want to serve Him here with the brothers and sisters in Christ, come. Let that be known as we stand and sing the final hymn, Brother Andrew.